Welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin, who's joining us today from New York, and veteran Capital reporter Chuck Johnson of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. And Rob, Republican Senator Steve Daines was supposed to address the Montana legislature on Tuesday. Hundreds of protesters showed up wanting to let him know their disappointment in his refusal to hold in-person town hall meetings. But Daines was a no-show. At the last minute, he moved his speech to the next day.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in a way, you can hardly blame him for trying to avoid these town hall protests are, of course, going on across the country, and they're straight out of the old Tea Party playbook. You know, one thing that's going on here, I think, is that unlike a lot of Democrats back in 2009 and 2010 who were caught off guard, Republicans today know what's waiting for them if they show up for a town hall or for, in this case, a scheduled speech where there's a big protest. And, you know, it seems clear that some politicians out there like to mix it up and seem to feed off of these exchanges, but most don't. And Daines certainly seems to be among those who would prefer to just avoid them. But for the protesters, one thing that strikes me is that it really is kind of a win-win situation. If these members of Congress show up, you get a great YouTube moment. And if they avoid these encounters, which Daines quite clearly is doing, then they get mocked as being scared of talking to their constituents.
Here's what one of the protesters had to say.
He's not representing us. I'm really, really upset. I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a great-grandmother. I'm worried about Planned Parenthood with granddaughters. I'm worried about Affordable Care Act. What kind of health care? The future for my family, for the citizens. Education. I'm worried about everything.
She's worried about everything, Rob.
Right. One of the best insights I've seen recently as to where Daines is at was an interview he did this week just after his speech with Jamie Fraser of the Lee Papers. And he basically said, look, it's not particularly important for me to engage with these people because I'm already aware of what they think, and said that he doubts that any conversation would be productive because the protesters just want to shout and create what he called gotcha moments. And there's obviously some truth in that. It's not like Daines or the people demanding a town hall are going to change their minds after such an interaction.
Senator Daines used his Wednesday appearance at the legislature to applaud the Trump administration, and then he held a press conference in the Capitol to push for the nomination of Neil Gorsuch for the U.S. Supreme Court. But a few dozen protesters and a handful of his supporters showed up for that press conference, and here's the senator's take on the protesters.
Let's not forget a basic point of this last election. Hillary Clinton lost by 20 points in Montana. Donald Trump won in a landslide in the state. And while every voice must be heard in Montana, the reality is the people of Montana rejected Hillary Clinton and voted for Donald Trump.
And then, Rob, Senator Daines ended the press conference before anyone could ask any more questions.
Right, exactly, Sally. You know, it dovetails with some of the comments he made or with the Lee Papers. He kind of gave a shout out to what I think is an inaccurate idea that's been put out by the White House and others, that all of the pushback we're seeing is just somehow being cooked up by a small band of paid protesters. So he didn't go quite that far as we've seen Sean Spicer and some other people go, but clearly he was nodding in that general direction. And he also suggested that basically the protesters are limited to a kind of fringe hysterical element that's based in our two main college towns anyway, and in Helena. And that seems to be a fundamentally inaccurate understanding of what's going on in the country. You know, yes, of course, it's true that Trump won by a large margin in Montana, but the pushback that we're seeing, this isn't just limited to the usual suspect list of liberal activists. It's broader than that, quite clearly, I think. And if anything, it seems to be gaining momentum. Moreover, whatever you might want to say about the election, another way of looking at it is where is Trump at in approval ratings? And they're terrible. He has the lowest approval ratings ever recorded at this point in the presidency. For Daines, you know, representing Montana probably allows him to be a little bit more cavalier on some of these matters. But his response still seems to suggest something of a misreading on his part of what's going on out there right now.
And it's doubtful that telling people to get over the election is going to be an effective strategy. Chuck, a group called the Judicial Crisis Network sponsored the Danes press conference. That's not a Montana group.
No, Sally, it's a national group, and it founded in 2004 to push for the nominations of two of the people that President George W. Bush nominated for the court, John Roberts and Samuel Alito. And since then, it's been active in trying to sway senators on confirmation votes for judicial candidates for or against.
They're also sponsoring an ad that's currently airing in Montana, urging Montana's Democratic Senator John Tester to vote for Gorsuch. But they're also really going after Senator Tester.
4 years ago, John Tester went back to Washington. Since then, he's changed. Tester supports Obamacare, even the hated individual mandate, and dangerous sanctuary cities. He's fine with them. Now, John Tester is creating gridlock, threatening to obstruct Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch has bipartisan support, a qualified judge with a record of being fair, and always applying the Constitution just as it was written. Tell John Tester, stop the obstruction. Confirm Gorsuch.
Chuck, that sounds like a negative campaign ad to me.
Yeah, it's one of the first 2018 campaign ads we've seen against John Tester. Tester, at least the comments I've seen, has said he's met with Gorsuch and he said he will study where Gorsuch is on issues and make a decision. To my knowledge, he's not yet said how he would vote on the nomination. And I can't imagine an ad like this is very persuasive with a senator who may still be considering it.
Rob, before that U.S. Senate election happens, Montana, sometime in late spring or early summer, will hold a special election for a new member of Congress to replace Ryan Zinke. And although we've been saying for weeks the Republican frontrunner is Greg Gianforte, who lost his bid to be governor, there are some Republican leaders, notably State Senate President Scott Sales, who think Gianforte is, quote, unelectable.
Yeah, exactly. And this kind of all broke at the GOP's annual Lincoln-Reagan dinner. And apparently it was Daines' public endorsement of Gianforte at that dinner that really got under Sales' skin and sparked his comments. And in a way, that struck me as a little bit odd because it seems totally unsurprising that Daines would endorse Gianforte. You know, after all, they're old friends. They work together in business in Bozeman. And on top of that, Gianforte has been claiming for weeks that he already has a Republican nomination locked up. And no one's really tried to refute that point. So given all that, it seems entirely unremarkable that Daines would be publicly in Gianforte's corner. But nonetheless, I think the notable thing here was that Sales gave voice to something that we've discussed a time or two more speculatively, and that is whether there are doubts within the Republican Party about Gianforte's electability. This is, after all, the guy who just got beat in the governor's race in what otherwise was an across-the-board sweep for Republicans. And of course, to be fair, it's important to remember that it's very hard to beat an incumbent governor. But still, if a conservative Republican running in Montana can't win in November of 2016, it's got to make some people think that, gee, maybe there's a problem with this particular candidate. In terms of looking forward, and despite this public display of internal party tension, we aren't seeing necessarily any clear effort to drop Gianforte, at least not that I'm aware of. There's still time for something like that to develop, but we'd have to see it coalesce around a single alternative candidate, and it would have to happen pretty quickly.
That could be an interesting nominating convention, to say the least. Chuck, State Republican Chairman Jeff Essman has come out adamantly against a Republican-sponsored bill to allow that upcoming special election to be held by mail ballot only. And he sent out an email recently warning such an election would hurt the Republican candidate because it would increase turnout of what he calls low propensity voters. What's he talking about?
Well, he put this note out, and he's concerned that people who don't regularly vote would get mail ballots and it might encourage them to vote. And he doesn't state specifically who he's referring to, but he makes a comment about how Democrats are better at getting unpaid college students and public employee union members to go encourage people to vote and help push the votes along. It's a very unusual situation. Essman, who's now also a state representative, and the Secretary of State, Corey Stapleton, newly elected from last year, both appeared before a Republican senator's caucus the other day and, well, careful to say they weren't telling him how to vote. They started giving him the arguments why they shouldn't and vote for this bill by Republican Senator Steve Fitzpatrick. And one point that's interesting is this bill came from county election officials who said this would save counties up to $700,000 statewide by not having to, you know, hire election judges, rent places, and that's money the counties could spend better, you know, on roads and other things. And it's a local option type of choice. A county could choose to have the traditional primary election, or they could go with an all-mail ballot. So it's up to the counties. And the bill passed the Senate rather easily, so we'll see what happens in the House. But it was unusual to see the Republican state chair come out and say, this is going to cause low-propensity voters to vote, and they're not going to vote for us.
Well, he said, in fact, quote, this bill could be the death of our effort to make Montana a reliably Republican state. That's quite a dramatic statement.
Yeah, and Fitzpatrick, on the other hand, presented some evidence on the Senate floor as well as in caucus that said, hey, Republicans never did better than they did in the 2016 elections. And in some counties like Yellowstone and Cascade, the vast majority of voters voted by mail rather than showing up at the polling places. It's an interesting issue to watch as the Republican Party really disagrees over this.
Democrats, Chuck, can hardly hide their glee at the backlash to Chairman Essman's letter. Governor Steve Bullock was on the Rachel Maddow show talking about it this week, and they're able to make the argument that Republicans want to suppress the vote, that they think that's the only way they can win is by making sure fewer people vote, and that's not a good public impression to make.
No, voter suppression is something nobody wants. And Governor Bullock made a lot of those very same points on the Rachel Maddow show. And this has gotten some national attention, both on her show and other places. So it's a vote being watched around the country in political circles.
Finally, Chuck, Montana's first female Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court, Carla Gray, died recently. And it's a measure of how respected she was that Governor Bullock ordered the state flags to be flown at half-mast in her honor.
Yes, that's correct, Sally. And Carla Gray was a really interesting person. She got appointed to the Montana Supreme Court by Governor Stevens in his term, and she was the second woman to serve on the Supreme Court. She replaced another female on the Supreme Court who resigned. And then she was elected twice to the Supreme Court as an associate justice. And then in 2000, she was elected as the first female chief justice. And Carla Gray, throughout her career as a judge, was a strong advocate for access to justice for all. Her pitch was that everyone deserves a right to be part of the court system, and she fought long and hard for that, both on the court and after she retired in 2009. And I think she deserves a lot of credit for that, and that will be her legacy, I think, as the first female chief justice and also someone who fought for access to the courts for poor people.
And also was a mentor, of course, to many women in Montana who aspired to have careers in the legal profession. Well, you've been listening to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with veteran Capital reporter Chuck Johnson of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. And guys, I'll talk to you next week.